Well, obviously, good morning. Now, to get kind of straight into things, since we're going to be talking about healing, I would like to start off the class today by talking about coffee. Many of you may know that I enjoy a good cup of coffee, and I'm not one of those people that likes a small cup. If you're anything like me, when you see someone order an espresso, you think, why? Why do you order a cup of coffee that's this deep? And I know it maybe tastes nice and what have you, but I'm the kind of guy, I like a big cup of coffee. In the house, the biggest mug, everyone knows, leave that for Dad. It's his mug. And the thing about this particular mug that I'm holding here this morning is that this mug is a lot like you and I. That on the outside, it's quite nice, maybe, and quite shiny, and it's quite tough. I don't know if you can hear this. It's quite tough, but at the same time, this mug is incredibly fragile. Sorry to the ushers. I'll help you clean up. Incredibly, incredibly fragile. And I know that, how good you're catching. I know that, you know, if you really think about us as people, we really kind of, we fluctuate between those two kind of categories. On the one hand, you see human beings being incredibly resilient. I mean, here's a picture of something, you know, my wife's worst nightmare, okay, is that her boys will grow up to play this, you know, this terrible sport. But it's amazing. I mean, you see what happens on the rugby field. You're like, man, how do you handle such a beating to the body? There's a real toughness about us as people sometimes. And yet there's also this softer side. You know, I need to be honest. I cried in the notebook. I wasn't, don't laugh, I know you guys did as well. But I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, there's this side to us that's, you know, that's also, it's just soft. It's just, it's just fragile. And I've got an uncle who over 10 years ago was shot 3 times in his head. And yet today he still survives. And again, it's just amazing to think, how can a human body go through so much trauma? He's still literally, over 10 years, has still got a bullet inside of his head that they can't take out just because it's too deep. And, you know, we can survive these things. We've got this amazing strength. And yet, you know, we're also so weak and so fragile. And obviously, most people wouldn't have been as fortunate as my uncle, and you know, not just physically, but emotionally as well. I mean, I've got things that deeply affected me growing up. I mean, I had nightmares for years, most probably a quarter of my life, all based on a clown that I watched growing up. Okay. Some of you may know, some of you were around during those days. I'm not even going to put a picture on the screen. It's too freaky for words. But, you know, we can appear all fine on the outside, but there's so often a lot of stuff that's going on inside that affects us, that hurts us. And whether our hurts are big or whether they're small, whether we've got hurts that stretch back deep into our childhood, or whether there are hurts that you haven't experienced yet and they're still coming your way, we all get hurt. Please have a turn with me to John chapter 5. You know, this series that we're starting today will be taking place over 4 weeks, but we're going to be having our conference right in the middle. And what we're going to do is we're going to have, obviously, this week to introduce it, and then we're going to continue next week. We're going to have the conference in week 3, and then the 2 weeks after that. And what I want to encourage you to kind of see this lesson as is, it's such a complex, such a deep topic to see it as one big lesson split over 4 weeks. And part of the reason for that is healing is not really something that you can approach as a topic. There's so much involved in healing as we look through, the various elements of healing. You can't take one element and say, that's the key, because there's so much more to it. And so I really want to encourage you to try and see this as one sermon split over 4 weeks. But before we read the scriptures, John chapter 5, why don't we pray? Holy Father God, I feel very humbled to be up here this morning. It's an incredibly humbling topic to speak about. I think just hearing Martin and Noctula and their testimony, their story, God, their own hurts and their own healing, it's just very humbling for me to be up here. And God, I pray and have been praying that you'll compensate for my weaknesses. And God, I know we all experience pain in such different ways. I pray that somehow today you will speak to each one of us through the scriptures. God, we love you. We pray in your son's name. Amen. John chapter 5, let's read from verse 1. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. You know, this scene is, as most of you, I'm sure, know, is not an uncommon scene in the Gospels. So often you see Jesus in different scenarios, interacting with different people, and performing these amazing miracles. And sometimes it feels like asking silly questions. Like, do you want to be healed? It's like, Jesus, I mean, you're the creator of the universe. Duh. Of course I want to be healed. And here's this, you know, this scenario that you see played out time and time again, really illustrating that a lot of Jesus' ministry had to do with healing. Now, Paul taught on this a couple of weeks ago, just how so much of what Jesus did and what he taught were very physical, but also very much tied to spiritual lessons. And healing was really, really one of them. I mean, Jesus was very, very intentional about how he went about healing and who he healed and the lessons that were tied into it. And these kind of miracles, these healings really showed people, one of the reasons, was that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary person. That these miracles were there to testify that Jesus was indeed something quite different and quite special. And these miracles often were illustrations. You know, Jesus would make bread, and then people would be, eating their bread, and he could use that as a kind of a springboard into talking about the bread of life. Or the same, you know, when he's standing around the well, he would talk about the living waters that flow from within. And so he would use these miracles as illustrations. And you know, there was a lot of kind of figurative language. I mean, when Jesus said, "I'm here to set the captives free," he didn't kind of charge off to the prison and try and kind of like, you know, pull the doors open and let all the prisoners out. That, you know, it was very figurative language, that you don't see Jesus doing that. Now, in the book of Acts, you see Peter doing that, okay? Acts chapter 12, a Christian jailbreak, you can go and read about it. But, you know, there's a lot of figurative language with setting captives free or healing, that it wasn't a focus on physical healing, because our bodies, after all, are temporary, that there was a real focus on spiritual healing. And, you know, I love seeing kind of Jesus and trying to kind of understand what it must have been like. But so often he would do these things on the Sabbath as a way to almost kind of pick a fight and give a lesson to the religious people. And here's an exact scenario, and it's almost like Jesus is like, hey guys, you know, I need to teach a lesson. We need to, let's go, let me go and heal on the Sabbath. Then you'll see, let's see what happens here. And then have a look in verse 10. It says, so the Jewish leaders said to the man who'd been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. I mean, just stop for a second. I mean, here is a guy, he's been an invalid for close to 40 years. All of a sudden he gets healed, he picks up his mat, and what do the religious people do? Whoa, 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 whoa. It's the Sabbath, and you're not allowed to carry your mat. You know, church, I want to beg of you, never be like this. Do whatever you can, but never become people who get so caught up in church, even this church, and your religion, that you miss the lessons that God so often tries to teach you. You know, some of the best things that God does in your life falls outside of kind of the realm of church and religion. And they're hard so often to see and hard to acknowledge and difficult to celebrate, but healing is really one of them. The God is so desperately wanting to heal us. And it's difficult to see how and when and does it happen. But we got to look out for it. We've got to be aware of it. It's one of the most fruitful things you can do for yourself and for the people around you. Is to heal from your emotional and spiritual hurts. You know, I brought a little prop along with me, another one, not so breakable. Okay? This over here is called a Band-Aid. Okay? If you've got young children, you must probably got a whole box of them at home. Okay? Invented almost 100 years ago. Okay? Turn of the century, they figured this all out, Johnson & Johnson, that they'd sold 100 billion of these babies. I mean, that's enough to wrap around the world, you know, over 100 times. Little Band-Aids. And, you know, kids just love these things. It's amazing. I mean, I've got young kids and, you know, they get a bump, they get a scratch. You look at them funny and they want a plaster. You know, put a plaster on it. It's like, is it sore? You know, no, but just put a plaster on it. And it's just, you know, got kids with these plasters around their legs. It looks like they've been beaten up. But, you know, getting hurt and getting knocks and bruises, it's just a part of life. I mean, you learn it from, you know, from your youngest of ages, that getting bumps and getting hurt and getting bruises and having a little tear, it's just a part of life. I mean, I got my first stitches, I must have been a couple of years old. Some kid in the playground tripped me onto the sandpit. And, you know, stitches and blood everywhere. And if I ever find that kid, I'm going to give him a hiding. I'm just kidding. You know, it's just a part of life to get hurt, to get these bumps and to get bruises. But as you grow up, I think one of the things that we realize is that, you know, the physical stuff, as hard as it is sometimes, is nothing compared to the emotional hurts. You know, it's not so easy to put a Band-Aid on hurt feelings. Or to, you know, kind of bind up and fix something that's deep and that hurts you and has hurt you really badly. And, you know, if hurt, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, if getting hurt is such a part of your life, then it's so important for us to learn about healing. That healing really also needs to be a very normal part of our lives. And in the same way that we understand that when you get a cut, you can put on a plaster, we also need to understand that when we get hurt emotionally or spiritually, we also need to learn how to address that in a godly way. And You know, the amazing thing about Band-Aids is actually what goes on underneath. You know, the kids think that there's some magic in this baby. But the magic really comes from the way that you are made by God. I mean, I don't want to get into too much technical detail, but literally the instant you get a cut, your body starts to heal. The instant. What happens is your blood starts to clot, okay, starts to get hard, stops it from bleeding too much. And then, you know, really just, it's incredible. You start to get swollen, starts to get inflamed, all without you thinking. Killing off bacteria. Scab starts to form. You know, in some ways to kind of protect the wound. Now, scab is not a technical term, okay? The doctors, I apologize for not using a technical term, but I like the word scab, and it kind of covers, you know, we all know what a scab looks like or feels like. But it's amazing. The scab kind of, you know, covers up the wound or the cut and allows this healing to happen. It's just amazing. And you know, the kids think it's the Band-Aid, but God has just designed us in a phenomenal, phenomenal way. And our bodies are designed to heal. Like I said, the instant you get a cut, you start to heal. If you've ever broken a bone, how we're designed is that that when you break a bone and it gets healed, it heals stronger than before. And it's just amazing that if we lose one of our senses, our body compensates by strengthening our other senses. That when, you know, when we get a cut or a scrape, that our DNA that we got when we were first conceived figures out the kinds of cells that it needs to replicate in order to fix our wound or our sore. It's just amazing that he's given us these tools and these bodies in order to heal physically. And he's also given us some great spiritual tools and emotional tools to help us heal from those kind of hurts. I mean, something as simple as prayer. It's just this powerful tool that really allows and helps you to heal, doesn't it? Acceptance, patience, love, forgiveness, kindness, honesty. They're all just different things, different ways that God helps us and allows us to take steps towards emotional and spiritual healing. But, you know, it doesn't always come naturally. You know, when we get hurt physically, there's a lot of natural things that happen to get us to heal. But emotionally, it's a little different. It doesn't quite work so easily. And so that brings me to three short points that I want to share this morning, just to kind of help set the stage for what we're going to be talking about this series. The first one is, disguising hurt is not the same as healing. I think this is an important point for us that, you know, we've got these natural instincts when it comes to getting hurt. One of the most natural instincts when danger's around, fight or flight. Okay? Some of you are fighters. Okay? The danger comes, bring it on. Or the danger comes, I'm out of here, you know, I'll see you later. But those are our natural instincts, you know, that are built into us when there's danger, fight, or flight. And you see it even in the Bible. I mean, I love the Bible. You got, you know, some of Jesus' disciples, the sword's out, you'll never take my Jesus, and the others are running away naked in the Bible, okay? I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, it's not just kind of physical danger that we're good at kind of dealing with and compensating for. We've got these amazing ways of compensating for our emotional hurts. You know, ways that, you know, and I believe it's part of our design, but it's ways that kind of, you know, we use them to prevent us from getting hurt more, if that makes sense. And, you know, when you get defensive, that's a way that you protect yourself emotionally. You know, if someone brings something up, hey, you know, I didn't like the way you looked at me. Well, what do you mean? I didn't like the way you looked at me. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the defense is up. That's a way that we deal with potentially stuff that maybe even happened years ago. So we're defensive. Sometimes we use humor and niceness. You know, we use kind of, yeah, out of yourself, nah, noisy, wow, they look so happy. But it so easily is a compensation for insecurity. Achievement, working hard. Man, I got to get ahead. I want to achieve. I want to do well, thinking that in some way doing well at our careers will help make up for other areas that we maybe lack. Sometimes assertiveness. It's one of those fascinating things. It looks the one way and it so often means the other thing. Being assertive, it looks so confident and yet so often rooted in insecurity. I have a personal favorite when it comes to these things. Denial. Oh yes, denial, my friend. My wife has, she got a tough time with me when it comes to that. But it's, problem? What problem are you talking about? You mean that the argument we had last night, is that still a problem? And I blame God for this. I think God just, gave me an extra denial kind of, gene or something like that. But, psychologists have kind of worked out that there's about 15 of these defense mechanisms. Okay, that we possess, and some of them are quite primitive. Some of them are more complex. All of this stuff is freely available. Okay, it's no surprise that we as people defend ourselves. You can go and look all of this stuff up yourself. But when God has a dream for your life, this is not the dream. And again, we were designed to have these things as a way to protect ourselves and to stop us from getting hurt more. Absolutely. These things are in many ways natural. But you do not heal by these things. The God doesn't just want you to protect yourself, put up walls so you don't get hurt anymore. God has far better things planned for your life. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to grow. He wants you to do great. And you know what? Disguising your hurts behind all these different things is not going to help you get there. It's not the same as healing. You know, today you may have some hurts. Hurts in your marriage. Hurts in some relationships. Hurts in your life. Disappointments. Heartaches and maybe some of your hurts are directed at specific people. Maybe some of your hurts are directed at God. I think Martin spoke very powerfully about that. Sometimes your hurts are directed at yourself. And sometimes you just don't have anyone to direct it at. You just hurt and there's no one to be upset with. And I just want to encourage you that this is not the answer. And these things come naturally, and we all do them, but this is not the answer. And over the next couple of weeks, as we unpack how to deal with our emotional and spiritual hurts, I want to encourage you to really process and think about who you are. And maybe some of these speak more loudly to you than others. And I don't want to unpack them all. Like I said, they're all available. But, I want to be the first to admit that I'm not the expert on your life. And I've prayed very hard about this, this lesson and this series, praying that between you and God, you'll figure a lot of these things out yourself. And that really leads to another point, is that we all hurt differently. We all perceive life in its own way. And there's a powerful proverb about that in Proverbs 14. It'll come up. It says, your joy is your own. Your bitterness is your own. No one can share them with you. Your joy is your own. Your bitterness is your own. No one can share them with you. It's so true, isn't it? I mean, our life, ups and downs and what have you, sometimes it's just, we just can't share them. I mean, my soccer team scores a goal and I'm jumping on the table and my wife and kids are like, what? Didn't they score a goal last year or something? It's just so hard. And yet, when it comes to other things, more emotional things, I tend to be an underreactor. And kind of, my wife and I roles, they kind of split. And Maura's like, don't you see? And I'm like, I see, but, I just don't feel the same way as you. And it's just we're wired so differently. And I won't tell you some of the stories just because we don't have time today. Maybe I'll get a chance in the future. But we can be so judgmental, can't we? When it comes to seeing how other people respond to different things. And I'm telling you, and like I said, I won't share stories now just for time, but I believe you can think of multiple scenarios where you've been critical of other people for the way that they've responded to different things. You know, we have got this terrible tendency to judge, to decide what we think other people should think and feel. I mean, it's funny, I've got a nice group of friends who enjoy soccer, and we're sitting there watching soccer, a game from a week ago, and someone scores a goal, there's a celebration, and there we are analyzing how they celebrated and whether we think it was appropriate. I mean, we're just ridiculous. You know, we are really just ridiculous. And that whole scenario is a whole sermon in itself. But, you know, when... we see people hurting and we feel like, well, you should just move on. It was a long time ago. But just think how wrong that is for us to project ourselves onto other people. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, said, do not judge others so that God will not judge you. For God will judge you in the same way that you judge others, and he will apply to you the same rules that you apply to others. Man, you know, we all need so much mercy from God in order to heal, and we must be very careful that we don't apply the opposite of what we need to other people when they need that mercy too. You know, South Africans, we're terrible at that. I mean, you know, here the proverb says, listen, you don't know another person's pain. But as South Africans, we love to talk. We love to have all kinds of opinions about what other cultures should be thinking and feeling, what other races should be. We're just terrible. You don't know. The only thing that you're an expert at is yourself. And you know what? You're not even that big an expert on yourself. You know what? I think sometimes we just need to have a little bit of mercy and be careful when we judge other people. And that's really any hurtful scenario. Any hurtful scenario. It's easy if you have moved on to feel like other people should have moved on. But we're different. And we shouldn't think that way. You know, love doesn't stand in judgment. Love stands next to and walks with. And we need to remember that as disciples. Finally, we need to know the difference between wounds and scars. You know, girls dig scars. It's a phrase I grew up hearing. They've even done some scientific studies on it, whether it's true or not. I won't give you those results. But... Have a brief look in Luke. Have a look in Luke chapter 24. You know, I'm going to share a theory about Jesus here. And I've got into trouble before for some of my theories. And if you're visiting, you're welcome to report me. I once basically tried to show that there was significant evidence that Jesus loved food. And I'm still getting some criticism for that one. But here's another theory. And please don't quote me on this. But I think that Jesus digs scars. You know, if you look in Luke 24, I thought there was always something fishy about the road to Emmaus. You know, I mean, here these guys walking on, it's after the resurrection, and Jesus walks up to them, and they don't recognize him. Was it kind of a miracle that they didn't recognize him? Or, you know, was there something about Jesus that was maybe different from the Jesus that they knew? And anyway, so it was just a thought there. And then you have a look in Luke 24, verse 36. It says, while they were still talking about this, literally after the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. Okay, these are the disciples. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have something here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Let's forget the food for a second. What did Jesus do? He showed them his scars. And I really believe that this could have played out anyway, that Jesus' resurrected body could have come in any form. And yet God and Jesus, they chose to keep the scars. And there he was before his disciples showing them, hey, it's me. Here the wounds, here the scars to prove it. And you know, Luke gives this very general view, and I love John. John wrote his gospel quite a bit later than the other gospels. And you can imagine, you know, maybe, Thomas had the apostle Thomas had died, and John was like, man, I just need to set the record straight. And so if you read the gospel of John, he actually says, listen, it was Thomas that was doubting, not all of us. But if you read in Luke, it kind of, you know, Luke made it sound like they were all doubting, and John kind of set the record straight in his gospel. He's like, listen, it was Thomas here. But, you know, I must admit that, you know, again, it's an idea, it's a thought, but you know, in Revelations 5, the Bible describes the resurrected Jesus as a lamb looking as though it had been slain. That Jesus kept his scars. He kept the evidence of his death for you and for I. And you know, I've mentioned before that hurt is a part of life. And when we get hurt, we get wounded. And sometimes those wounds, they stay open wounds. And when we would hope that we'd be able to close them up and maybe there'll still be a scar, sometimes they don't close up and they stay open. I can think of so many examples just in my own life, and I'll share them in the weeks to come. But, you know, an open wound is still extremely painful. And when I've had wounds, just a conversation or a thought about a specific scenario, it hurts, doesn't it? Or to see someone, it hurts. And you know, wounds, open wounds, so often, this is kind of medical stuff, so often can get worse than even the trauma that caused them. You know, in the States, I don't know what the worldwide stats are. In the States alone, and we're talking about a, you know, first world country, over 100,000 people die every year in hospital from infections in their wounds. So they've already been hurt. They're already in hospital. But the thing that hurts them more is the infection. And that's the danger with so many of our emotional hurts, is that if we're not healing and those wounds stay open, they get worse. And those long-term effects can be devastating. You know, it's amazing how a small wound can grow into a big wound. It's amazing how, over time, things that you've forgotten about, they resurface. And, you know, it's a scary thing. I've met a lot of bitter people in my life. People who've been through a lot, and instead of growing from it and instead of working through the pain and healing, they've just got bitter. Just the wounds have just stayed open. And you know what, church, that is not God's desire for you. And I know for each one of us it's going to be different, and for some of you, absolutely, it'll be a lot harder than others. But if you have open wounds, you need to take them with the help of God and with the help of God's people, and you got to close them up. And you know what? Scars, you know, scars, amazing thing about scars is, you know, a scar is, there's still visible signs that you were hurt. So to have a scar is not a bad thing. I don't think God wants you to forget your wounds. Scars are there to remind us. And sometimes even scars hurt, don't they? Might have healed, but it's still sore. It's still painful. But once something's scarring, once something's closed up, it can't hurt you anymore. Can't hold you back anymore. You know, maybe right now you don't have any wounds, but they'll come. They'll definitely come. And, you know, maybe right now you're sitting there and thinking, man, I really do have some open wounds. And all my defenses have kind of blocked it up, and I don't even want to go there. Well, I want to encourage you. I know that feeling. Remember, I struggle with denial. Okay? I don't like to think about wounds. But I want you to take heart that healing is available to all of us. It's amazing. I mean, so much of Jesus' ministry was just reminding us of that, that healing is available, and it's available through God, and it's available through people. But we need to remember that as a family, we mustn't disguise our hurts. We need to find a place to heal, and we'll talk about that, but we mustn't disguise our hurts. They're real, they're normal, and we need to find healing. But we also mustn't judge each other. That everyone's hurts are different. Everyone's experience of life is different. But we can find that healing in God and in people so that our open wounds can eventually become scars. Amen. Thank you very much.